Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
Balance Virtually provides full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, and much more. To schedule a consultation with a certified public accountant with over 16 years of experience helping people like you, visit balancevirtually.com. Balance Virtually, your locally owned full-service financial planning service company. Welcome to the Veronica Edwards Show, where we have fun financial conversations that everyone listening can apply to their personal and professional life. So excited to be back another week here, season two of the Veronica Edwards Show on bizradio.us. As always, I want to thank the listeners. We've reached 1,000 downloads, so I'm super excited to start off season two. Hopefully we get 2,000 downloads this year. So let's just jump right into today's show because I'm super excited. We have today. So today's guest is one of my best friends from Somerville, aka I'm really not from Somerville, but my town is so small, I say Somerville. She is one of three of my friends that has her PhD, darling, that have been on the show. So we're very blessed to have a doctor in the building. This guest serves as assistant principal of instruction at the Champion Theme Middle School in DeKalb County, Georgia. This guest has her Bachelor's of Arts in English Education from South Carolina State University, a Master's of Education in Counseling Education from Georgia Southern University. Come on now. Come on where I got my master's at. And completed an ED in Teacher Leadership from Walden University. So without further ado, my sister, my soror, Dr. Itasky Vashti Bowler Arnett, come through.
You know what, Veronica? That may have been the best introduction I've ever had. I'm feeling really very important.
Yes, you are very important, Dr. Arnett, as I'm going to call you.
I receive it.
And you saw I slipped in. I'm your sorority sister.
I bless her heart, everyone.
Anyone that knows me knows I'm not in a sorority, but I'm honorary for Delta Sigma Theta Incorporated.
Oh, my Lord.
Come on now. So, Tasky, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me and congratulations on season two. Hashtag big deal.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we're going to jump right into the show. So we always ask the guests to tell us about you, share, you know, some of your background. I did a little bit in the intro, but definitely dig into more details of how you became a doctor and all these degrees being, you know, African-American woman, where some people probably would have discouraged you from doing some of the things that you've done.
Okay, so a little bit about me that Veronica did not mention. I am the oldest of two. I was blessed and fortunate to be raised by two awesome parents. So I do want to give Yolanda and Carl a shout out. My parents, they didn't play with my brother and I. And that's pretty much the foundation of kind of who I am today. Whatever we started, the expectation was that you were going to finish it. And they always had our best interests in mind. They were never our friends until, well, I don't even think they're my friends.
They are friends now. Yeah, after 25.
Yeah, after 25. I'll just say the relationship shifted. And I think that's how it should be. So again, they just had super high expectations for my brother and I. They didn't really care too much about what other people were doing and how they were able to do X, Y, and Z. So they were always singular and focused, and their focus was their children. So that's pretty much who I am.
Shout out to Yo-Yo and Carl. Got to shout them out.
Great
parents. And of course, we have to talk about how we met, girl, because we've been friends for, what, 22 years now?
It's been a long time. It's been a long time. So I remember hearing your name. So now I'm taking everybody back to the late 1990s.
Yes, baby.
Juvenile era. I was working at Captain D's, and
oh my gosh.
Your close friend at the time, Chrissy, became just one of the coolest people that I met in my late teens and early 20s. And she would always talk about Veronica, Veronica, Veronica. And then I finally got to meet you when we did Dell Teens, and we had the very two outspoken dads who didn't mind embarrassing us and others to their face. So
yes. And for people who don't know what Dell Teens was, I was participating in that. It was affiliated with Delta Sigma Theta Incorporated. And we did like a cotillion, like where the young girls dress up, they wear white dresses, they dance with their father, they fundraise, we do community service. And yes, Tasky was right. I was working at Piggly Wiggly in Somerville, and Tasky was working at Captain D's, and all the boys liked her from my school. I was like, who is this girl? Like, why are they always talking about what's a Tasky? That's what I want to say. What's a Tasky? And then we hit it off, and we've been friends ever since.
We did. We did. We became fast friends.
And what's crazy is that we both went to different undergraduate schools. And then when it was time for us to get our master's, I was like, oh, Tasky, I'm going to Georgia Southern. And you were like, wait a minute, I'm going to Georgia Southern. So that was totally a fluke. And I think that's probably when we got the closest, because we were able to spend a year together in Statesboro, Georgia. Ain't nothing in Statesboro, Georgia.
But the Wooden Nickel.
But the Wooden Nickel.
Shout out to the Wooden Nickel if they still are around.
Google the Wooden Nickel. So yeah, so from there, then you started your path towards getting a PhD. So what made you, Tasky, want to be an educator and get a PhD? And did you have any role models in education that looked like you?
So first part of the question, funny thing is, did not want to be an educator. I was in my mind, in my 17-year-old mind, I was going to Xavier University.
Yes.
And my dad was like, absolutely not. you're not going there. And I was like, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to get a full ride, et cetera. And I did get some money, but I didn't get nearly enough. So those dreams were squashed. Aww. And he said, but you're so great at working with kids. And at the time, I was also doing a work study at Alston Middle School, where I attended middle school. Mm-hmm. And the more I thought about it, I said, well, I kind of do enjoy that atmosphere. And a scholarship opportunity presented itself, and I landed it. I was able to get a full ride to South Carolina State University through their teaching fellows, and they actually paid me to go to South Carolina State. And so in my mind, I was, okay, I'll go and I'll just do a double major. I'm going to do English, and then I'm going to do a major in biology, because my dream was to become a dermatologist.
What? I never knew this.
Well, because I saw it as a secret failure, so I don't talk about it often.
Oh my God.
But my first biology course set, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Freaked me out, blood, everything else. And so I was like, but I was gung-ho because that's the vision I saw for myself. Mm-hmm. So I quickly dropped the biology major and stuck with education. And I can honestly say that it was the best choice and the right choice. So again, shout out to my dad for crushing my dreams at 17.
Shout out to Carl.
And saying, you're not doing that.
Parents listening, yes, we love the children. Yes, we want to give them opinions. But at 17, yeah, you're going to have to invoke some of your parental powers. And just
it is
like,
okay to tell your child no.
Okay.
Okay to tell your child no. So, like I said, I had a wonderful experience. To this day, I tell people, best four consecutive years of my life attending South Carolina State.
Historically black college,
university, all of that good stuff. Shout
Man,
out to
I had some fun. Yeah, I had some fun homecomings at South Carolina State. I didn't go to the HBCU, but I would go, I would visit, I would party and visit.
You were honorary at State as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
Honorary at State as well. And then I had a very tricky student teaching experience because, like I said, parents always had high expectations for me. I always did well in school. And so during student teaching was the first time I really heard the no, that you're not good enough. that the kids aren't learning. It was a lot of criticism and not necessarily feedback. And I didn't really know how to take that. But the message I got in that mess that I experienced was, this is what kids hear and feel all day. Yes. I'm 21 and I'm able to have some discernment over what I need to take and what I need to throw away. But most kids, they don't have that discernment. And so at that moment, I knew that God placed that experience in my life for a reason, because I was the kid who got the straight A's, who got the scholarship, who got the full ride. I didn't hear a lot of no's academically. And so God knew I needed to hear a lot of no's. And so I was able to finish my student teaching experience on a high, because like I said, it was a balance with the good and the bad, as well as the ugly. Got another scholarship to attend Georgia Southern for free. Yep. And I knew that I needed to get more into the mind of the student. And so that's where the counseling piece got me. Because if I know how to get them academically, now let me get them socially and emotionally. So that was my whole drive in receiving the counseling degree. But I became too invested in the stories. And so I knew that wasn't something that I really wanted to do full time. But again, it was just the knowledge that I received from that degree that I knew was going to help me with my ultimate goal. And I'll be honest with you, Veronica, I was done. In my mind, master's, I'm good to go.
No.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready to teach.
Yeah. And you had just gotten married after your master's. You moved to Atlanta. So, yeah, it was like, let's start this family.
Yeah, it was a lot going on. And so that's a great transition, because in our minds, you know, because we had been together since 2003.
Shout out to Raphael. Shout out to Tasky husband, Raphael.
Yes, I met my husband in college. So thanks again to my dad for saying, nope, you're going to South Carolina State, because I wouldn't have met him. Mm-hmm. And so we had some challenges getting pregnant. And so what do most high achievers do? They find a distraction. And so I said, well, let me go back to school, because to be frank, in education, the only way that you're going to earn a decent living is with the degrees and the years that you have. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, I'll do my specialist. And I got into a program. At the time, I was working with Georgia State. They had a partnership with Walden University. So I was able to do half my coursework face-to-face, which I love, the other half of my coursework online. And so that's how I ended up being on the track. It was just a great distraction from the challenges of us not being able to get pregnant.
Wow. And please share with the listeners, so those that are struggling with fertility, how many years, Tasky, did it take for you to have your first beautiful baby girl?
Wow. So we got married in 07. We just started actively trying in 2009. And when I say actively trying, like, okay, this isn't working on our own. We now need to reach out to some doctors and some specialists, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so we had Emory April 18th, 2016.
God. Girl.
So it was a long process. Look, just like that dissertation, that was a long process as well. I compare it to giving birth.
Yes. And with you talking about how you had so many years of not hearing no, how many times did you hear no from the doctors? How many times did you hear no about you even getting a PhD, defending your dissertation? Let's talk about that. How did you, because usually always on the show, we talk about different tips and jewels for the listeners. Mm-hmm. What is a tip that you can give to people that they just hit that hump where it seems like everything you try to do, it doesn't work? Everywhere you go, everybody's telling you no, to the point where you just are so discouraged. You're like, I just need to give up. How did you push through to keep going? Now you got two baby girls. Now you're assistant principal. Now you have your PhD. How did you keep going?
I'll be honest with you. The only reason I think I was able to keep going, and not just keep going, but also flourish, is when I surrendered everything to God.
Come on now, preach.
I really did. Like, I had a breaking moment. I'll never forget. It was one of those things where you're driving to work and you don't even realize how you got to work.
Oh,
that's how zoned out I was. And that was the last and final time that I said, you know what? And my husband was good with this too. You know, it's okay to cry. It's okay to have feelings. It's okay to feel despair and disappointment, but we're not going to have these feelings for a month.
We're not going to sit up in this.
We're not going to sit in it. We're going to give ourselves some time to feel, but then we're also going to recognize and acknowledge everything that we do have. And sometimes we get focused on what we do not have. Mm-hmm. It'll just take you down a rabbit hole that you don't want to go in. But it took years for me to A, surrender, and to B, go back to a saying like my grandma used to tell me ever since I've known myself, and is, you have the faith of a mustard seed.
Come on now.
Everything else will happen in its due timing. Mm-hmm. So that was the other piece. I wouldn't say I'm a control freak, but I feel like if you put in the effort, the hard work, you're a great, kind person, or at least you try to be a kind person, that good things should automatically happen to you. And throughout that trial, it was no, bad things are going to happen, especially to people like you.
Right. It's all about how you handle it. It's all about how you recover from it. It's how you rebound. And girl, you came out swinging.
Yeah. Because like I said, we heard countless no's. We were told we had a 3% chance of having kids. And that was with help.
Oh, my God.
So IUIs, IVF, all of that jazz. And, you know, that's something that can throw you even when you have the faith of a mustard seed. Countless. Like I said, I started my doctorate in 2007, and I didn't graduate. I didn't find out until the Good Friday of 2014 that my defense passed.
Come on, Good Friday. I got married on Good Friday. Yes.
Them Good Fridays ain't nothing to play with.
Them Good Fridays. Come on now.
So again, that's years of just persevering and pushing through. And again, coming from a background of, I'm used to hearing yes.
Yeah.
I'm used to hearing you got it. So to have 7 consecutive years of no in those two aspects, I mean, it tried to break me, but it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And during that time, you know, I'm getting pregnant, the person who never wanted no kids, other people having babies, people are in school, your brother-in-law got his PhD, all these people. And that's where I tell people all the time, your journey is your journey. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. That's for them. And what you're going through is for you. So before we go, Task, I definitely, because this station is all about entrepreneurship as well, you also, in all of this busyness, started a consulting company. So I didn't know if you had a name for it, if you're still able to work in it right now with your position as assistant principal. But tell us a little bit about how that consulting company came about and what you do with your consulting business.
So I have a consulting company, and this was my catchphrase all throughout teaching. It's called No Ceilings. And so my company is called No Ceilings Education because that's just my motto. I mean, there aren't any ceilings. It's as high as you want to climb, whether that is professionally, personally, socially, emotionally, all of that jazz, financially. It's just up to you. It's your mindset. And that came about, I was a founding principal of a new charter school in DeKalb County. However, the charter school got pushed back. It got delayed. And so that left me basically unemployed.
Dang.
Yeah.
So with the PhD, once you got the baby, you're like, okay, we on the other side.
And yeah. Then, and get this, Veronica, once the school got delayed, I ended up getting pregnant with baby number 2. So all of that happened around the same time. But, you know, God said you weren't going to be able to do both. That's right. How I had to rationalize it in my mind. It was either opening up a brand new school or it was being a parent to a brand new baby. And so, of course, I'm going to go with option number 2. Uh-huh. And that came to be Miss Gianna Renee. And so in the meantime, I just started hustling because I knew I had a talent. I had a skill set, and other schools saw that talent and skill set and began hiring me to help enhance their curriculum, to help provide morale and culture and climate lessons to the school. And so I was able to basically make what I was making as a new principal. based off of my hourly rate. So I never skipped a beat.
Wow. And then when you started this assistant principal role that you're currently at, did the, you know, no sailings education have to go in the back burner? Or is that something you maybe do in the summertime? Or that's something you're like, maybe when the kids get a little bit older?
So right now it is the latter. Maybe once the kids get a little older, because when you are an entrepreneur, you have to constantly be on your grind. Mm-hmm. And with a 6-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a husband, and my own life, I just didn't have the time that I had, you know, when I was working for myself. But it is still definitely in existence. And I still do special projects here and there.
Mm-hmm. And nothing is wrong with that, because I feel like sometimes people feel like entrepreneurship has to be, that's the only thing you do, 40, 50 hours a week to be an entrepreneur. Exactly what you're doing. You're still an entrepreneur, but you just have to pick the times when it makes sense for you to do what you do. And there's nothing wrong with that for those that are listening, because sometimes people feel like, well, you know, I have young kids. I still need benefits, you know, and I still need to have that reliable check, but I do have this passion and desire to have this business and also do that. So I'm glad that you were able to do that. And you also did that during the pandemic, correct?
I did.
Which a lot of people experienced that during the pandemic time, that it was like, okay, we're home. Let's see how we could set this all up online to create an LLC. Let's reach out to some of these schools that are struggling right now. Mm-hmm. With what are we going to do? So that was a great time for you to kind of tip your toe, you know, in the entrepreneurship pond and see how that was going to be. And I think, honestly, to ask you, whatever you put your mind to, you're going to be good at it, which I hope people listening hear that, like, it's not always going to be easy. And sometimes we've put a negative connotation on failure. I just look at failure as like it's a necessity to success.
Absolutely.
Like you have to. So I love what you said that, you know, it's up to you and it's a mindset. I think that's the biggest thing that I'll take away from our conversation is just that, you know, don't give up.
You can't.
And just keep pushing through, because if you would have gave up, you would have no children. You mm-hmm. wouldn't be a PhD. You might not even be married, you know, like, so it's so many things that if you just wait until everything is perfect, I tell people all the time, if you wait until you have enough money to have kids or to get married, you'll never get married.
There you go.
You'll never have kids. So I just so appreciate you, Tasky, sharing your story just like that. We're to the end of the show. Hopefully it wasn't too, I didn't beat you up too much.
You didn't. And this was amazing. Veronica, I am so proud of you. And thank you for having me on.
Of course. Of course. Thank you. Thank you for being a motivation. Thank you for being that beautiful African-American woman example in the schools. Tasky's always positive, always, you know, working hard, coming in early, staying in late, caring for the kids. I remember when Tasky worked for one of the hoodest schools in Atlanta. I would come and visit. We'd be right there at the football game, cheering them little bad kids on. But they love Tasky, and Tasky loved the kids.
Oh,
and
I do.
Yeah, so again, thank you so much, Dr. Arnett, for being on. I can't wait to have Raphael on. Her husband's also a serial entrepreneur.
Yes, he's a big deal in my mind.
Yes, he is. And I just want to thank all the listeners for tuning in. And please come back next week, same time, same place, 10 a.m. on Wednesdays. And you can stay connected to all things bizradio.us by going to bizradio.us. Tasky, thank you again. And don't yell at the kids too bad today.
Nah, I'm going to take it easy on them.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. And be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.